Come here. Stand up. You could stand right here and face the group. So this is what we're going to do. So I don't want to use anyone's real name. I'll call you Jodo. So what Jodo is going to do is all the women here feel what Sophia just articulated very well. If you don't have particular rage for this guy's closure, then feel the closure of the men you've been with and find that rage. In any case, for Jodo's good, you're going to give him the rage that he thinks will end someday. And what you're going to do is they're going to yell and scream. They're going to say, fuck you, you asshole. You know, they're going to be, yeah, just, you know, the worst. Like, at least you'll have a few dozen women instead of just one woman. It's not President Clinton level, but it's on the way. So they're going to be yelling at you, raging at you. What you're going to do is you're going to just breathe it in. And when you feel ready, like within a few seconds, you just feel it, just go, yes, and walk into it and just receive the energy just to feel what that's like. Okay? Then we give them spears and we repeat it. But wait for a few seconds. Okay, so if all ladies here would feel your rage for his sake, you know, to serve him, wake up every morning, sit at the table with him every day. He's the only guy you're with, day in and day out. Then you get that in your body, day in and day out, over and over. Okay, 1, 2, 3, rage. Yeah! Breathe it in. Now open your arms and walk towards them with an open heart. Walk towards them, breathe it in. Love it like a storm. Just love it like a storm. Okay. Breathe. Keep breathing. Open your eyes. Keep breathing. Now it's your responsibility to keep walking into that for the rest of your life and transforming it with your presence. And one moment of lost presence, that's what you're going to get. That's what we all get. Round of applause for a man. Thank you. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Good. We have a little more time for questions if there is any, or if there are any. Yeah.
Then I guess my question is, how are men supposed to know all this?
Trial by fire.
I know myself, and I think probably a lot of men have been counting on women to tell us what it is we need, and that's...
Well, you've heard a lot, even this weekend, right?
Right. Yeah, I've never heard it here. I mean, but for 47 years, I haven't heard it here.
It's not communicated very much in our culture, especially recently, because women and men have been trying to become similar.
Yeah, I mean, we went through this whole social thing, period, you know, of the women saying they want men to be more sensitive. And,
well, they did, because back then, men were totally rigid macho jerks. Now men are sensitive, and now they're saying, let's go further, sensitive men who are strong and clear and full in their presence. It's the next step. I don't know if you've read any of my books, but all my books describe three progressions from macho jerk to sensitive wimp to present man. And it's a progression. You have to go from one to the other. And so women were wanting macho jerks to feel. And then it took 10 or 15 years and 20 years, and then they felt, but now they're all feely and they've lost touch with their true direction and their deep consciousness. And now it's not a matter of going back, it's a matter of staying sensitive, but taking the next step to allow the true strength of your consciousness to also come forth. And as you hear very clearly, these women are being very clear, they want your sensitivity, but they also want the strength of your consciousness. They need it. They need to feel your heart completely, or it drives them crazy. It hurts. So it's the next step for men and women. For a woman to evoke that in her man, she needs to stand in that open devotional place. How did the women feel to you when we walked back from the men's group and all the ladies were in here? Did that feel reasonably okay to you? Well, if it's only a yeah, you're only going to get a yeah back. Unless you walked in this room and went, yeah. Yeah, you know, and like felt like, yeah, this is woman, you know, this is the energy I want to feel with your whole body, you'll never get it. Because you don't want it. How many men enjoyed the energy of the ladies when we walked in? I'm just curious.
Yeah!
Okay. So you just might not want that energy, which is fine. You know, that's just a personal choice, whether you want that energy. Maybe you want to cultivate it in yourself. You could do it all internally and not do it in a relationship if you choose to. You could balance yourself internally instead of feeling that passion between you and another body. That's an option. It's a largely celibate option, or a good friend's option without being passionate lovers. But it's just as healthy. It's just in one body instead of two bodies. 80% of people want it in two bodies. Probably 90% of people want to feel that passion between two bodies. And those 90% of people need to learn how to play one side or the other and fluidly to create the masculine and feminine dynamic that we've been working with. That this man, for instance, wasn't living up to. He wanted women to be more like men. He wanted the rainbow to be more like, you know, construction paper. Something he could depend on, wouldn't disappear, you know, stay in its place. And all men have a kind of desire for that. You know, why can't a woman be more like a man, or except My Fair Lady or something? Yeah. So here's this guy saying that again, and I don't want to repeat all of that, we've been through it. But for other men, maybe besides yourself, they want a rainbow. They want passion. They want the full bloom. And the full bloom seems insane if you're in your masculine and expecting a full bloom to act like a committee meeting. In some cultures, for instance, let's start at the high end. In India, ancient India, it's not allowed since the British invaded, but in ancient India this was recognized, and in this time period that I'm talking about, the culture was grounded in spirituality. Since then it's become dogmatized and so forth. But in this time period, men and women were dedicated to spiritual growth for the most part. And there were some women who, your wife, who, or girlfriend, whatever she is, wife, sorry about that, man, who get to a point in their life early on where they realize that they have a kind of unique relationship to the moment where they basically are sexually responsive to the entire moment. Now, this often happens in that culture really young, and sometimes, I mean, prepubescent, that you can just tell this girl has this certain thing. Those girls then would move into temples for life, and they would begin a devotional process where they spent all day doing sacred dance, prayer, devotion, and they would relate to the divine. I don't know if you know what a Shiva lingam is. It's this rock. So they would relate to the divine in this particular form. We'll get into that in a moment. As Shiva's form, as the masculine divine, and they would receive it in their body. Now, they would receive it in their body like we were talking to your wife, just breathing it in, inhaling it, opening to it. Now, these women didn't get married. They felt that they were married to God. They felt like their relationship was primarily to the divine. However, they lived in these temples, and men would go to these temples. And men would sometimes watch these women dance. And if you've ever seen statues of them, they're usually bare-breasted, and they're very fine. They're young women, so they're still in really good shape. And men would go there, and they, like us, would go, I want you. You know, they'd lust after these women. But these women had trained their bodies so much that they can demonstrate the feminine divine through their body with so much force that the man's lust, which is totally natural, would be combined with their heart opening. Because the way these women dance, their devotion, they would be weeping, they would be feeling God. And you could really want to fuck a woman and still she's so open and so loving that your heart just, as well as your genitals, is, you know, you're awed by her devotion, her openness, whether it's to you or to anyone. But if you see a woman totally open in devotion with that vulnerability, and she's able to move her body totally sensually, incarnate, you want her so bad. Now, the men were trained in a practice of allowing their desire for this woman to be absolute. They would sit there, they would watch the woman dance, they would allow themselves to desire her completely, though, not just her vagina or tits, which were often exposed for that purpose, but also her heart, which was equally exposed. So they would lust after the entire feminine divine, which is love itself, love incarnated, a body of love, a vagina of love, breasts of love. And so these men would begin to relate, just like we were talking about his wife, to this woman as a divine form. And they would worship her. They would be shouting, you know, Ma, you know, meaning the feminine divine, not mother, you know, in that culture. It's, you know, Ma, the feminine divine, you know, I worship you. And she'd be dancing. Now, occasionally, if a man was ready and a woman was ready, they would have sex. But it would be totally ritualized, formalized sex, where the purpose in this case was the women would have been trained in this all their lives, and they would instruct the men in feeling God through sex. They would... You couldn't get close to them without a good 20 years meditation practice under your belt. That's like to get you to the temple steps, basically. Then they had to feel your absolute presence like we've been practicing. But I mean, we're talking serious presence to get into the temple. So we're by the time you got to the point of them even letting you touch them, you would have had to practice so much that sex to you would have been an absolutely sacred act. So at that point, your lust has been converted into merging with the feminine divine. It includes your genitals, but it's your heart also and your entire body. Now, we don't have that training or that situation in the United States. But I've been to strip clubs. And at a really good strip club, the men are worshiping the women. And those of you who have been to them, I mean, there are men just going, literally, just like in India, you know, going, I love you, you're goddess, you know, throwing money. I mean, they're worshiping, and they throw money in India too, you know, they're worshiping her. Now, a lot of these men probably couldn't even fuck these women. Some of these men are impotent, some of these men are too old to even care about sex, but still, seeing a beautiful woman dance is inspiring, period. And that's worth the worship. There, even if you don't have an erection, I'm sure you all know what I mean, you might be seeing a beautiful naked woman dance, and it's not, sometimes you might get erect and actually want to fuck her, but sometimes you don't have an erection, it's just like one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. You desire her, but it's a whole body desire. It's a desire to merge with her openness, her energy, her juiciness, her vitality, her whole... Does everyone know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think maybe in a couple hundred years in the West, we're talking in India about a culture that's very old. Our culture is very new. Maybe in a couple hundred years, we will have evolved to a place where women who have been trained most of their lives can select the men that are allowed in the door and worship each other in various forms to witness the feminine dance, maybe even to have sex in a total formalized situation of deep respect and love. Maybe it'll be a lot more than 100 years. So at this point, though, we each as individuals have to learn how to do that in our own life. Now, I don't know how much we should go into this right now, but one of my teachers, who you could read about in a few of my books, was a kind of master at transforming situations like this. And he would often bring me and some friends into bars and places like that where it's very seedy. And to him, it seemed the seedier the better in some ways. And you walk in, and at that point, before I had really worked with him, I was this super pure yogi, super vegetarian, no one touch me, always wear white, you know, meditate 5 hours a day kind of fascist person. And so, you know, to go into a bar and drink alcohol, first of all, I hadn't drank in a long time, but to drink alcohol, to smoke cigarettes, which he would insist on, and he had trained us in how to drink and conduct the energy and stay full, so by this time we know how to stay totally full. Even when we're drunk on our ass, we don't waver, we know how to breathe, we know how to stay strong. We'd go to these places, and he would convert them into these temples, essentially. He would just start, you know, a waitress would come to the table, and he'd, you know, you're very beautiful. But he'd say it from such an open-hearted place. You know, at first she's hit on all the time, so it's like, yeah, yeah. You know, and he'd say it in a way that it's impossible to replicate. He'd say it in a way that she actually understood. You know, have you ever felt... He'd use different words. You know, have you ever felt the great one in your heart? You know, and she'd at first be a little shy, and then she'd be like, yeah, I have. And he'd go, I know you have. And then she'd come back with the next round of drinks a little later, and he'd say, you know, your heart's shining. And she'd say, thank you. And soon, like 45 minutes later, we had a goddess serving us. She had been, her truth had been praised so much. Her heart had been recognized. Everyone else is, you know, like, hey, baby. And here's this guy actually, I mean, he certainly would fuck her, but he's fucking her with his consciousness. He's opening her heart, and she loves it. So he would convert these situations into this. So it's our responsibility as men who are practicing toward the third stage to convert all of these situations, porn movies, strip joints, our lust or our desire to merge. So I'm going to walk each of us through this as an exercise, and then we hopefully have time to do some things differently. But here's how, this is, if you get one masculine exercise, get this one. Anytime you feel lost, and I'll do it with you since he asked, but this applies to all of us, but I'd have to walk each of you through this individually to get it just right for each of you. Do it yourself. As I ask him these questions, answer them for yourself. So describe the sexiest woman that would appeal to you right now, just lustfully. I mean, is she 15 years old, 30 years old, blonde, brunette, tall, short, fat, thin, big tits, small tits, naked, dressed? I mean, just pick one. Let me put it this way. When men masturbate, they usually stick with one or two fantasies their entire life. I mean, they start as teenagers beating off, and it usually never changes. I mean, they're 50 years old beating off, and it's the same kind of situation, roughly. What is that? And what are you doing together? Like, is she sucking your dick? Are you fucking her in the ass? Are you having genital intercourse? Are you hugging each other? Are you beating each other? Are you fucking dogs? I mean, what is it for you? Okay, garter belt, big tits, mid-20s. What are you doing with her? What is she doing with you or to you or with? Okay, starts with a blowjob, ends with a blowjob. Blowjob sufficient for now? Raise your hand, man. Blowjob sufficient for now? I just wanted to let you know, it's like, you might be embarrassed about this fantasy, but everyone else is going, okay, so black lingerie, garter belt, mid-20s, big tits. Is she kneeling before you? Are you laying in bed? She's giving you a blowjob, but how? I mean, that's just the sexiest thing you could think of right now. Is she's like kneeling, sucking your dick? Are you like holding her ears? Are you eating, you know, beer on her head? What are you doing? But really, what is to you the sexiest lustful fantasy you could have? That's what counts. This exercise won't work unless you can tell me your lustiest, like, even if it seems perverted to you, that's better. Tell me your ultimate sexual fantasy as of this moment. How many women? How old are they? What race are they? What are they doing to you? I mean, just go for it. Okay, now this is where the critical part comes. What exactly are you getting from that situation? What is it you're getting from those women in that moment that make it such a driving fantasy? This pussy's on your mouth, you're seeing her tits, one's sitting on your dick, you're fucking wildly. In that moment, why do you have that fantasy? What are you getting from that moment? It's not done yet. What are you getting from that moment? What qualities? Why is it attractive to you? If you can't answer that to me, I can't convert your lust into a blessing. So you have to answer that for me. I mean, I could give you my answer, everyone could give you their answer, but your answer is what counts for you. Let me give you some examples to kind of create a ballpark for you to play in. Some men feel like, ugh, life sucks, and then when they have some beautiful woman sucking their dick, they go, yes. So what they're getting from the situation is the feeling of, God, I'm happy to be alive. Some men feel uninspired, and they just see a nice pair of tits, and suddenly they feel like inspired. They have energy in their body. Good. So let me tell you now the truth of what you just said. You don't want two 20-year-old women sitting on your face and fucking your dick. You want two 20-year-old women making you feel alive. What would happen if they could make you feel alive, more alive, your genitals more alive, your heart more alive, more into the moment in a different way, and they knew how to do it? Would you want them to do it? Yeah, if it really did that, yeah. So you would actually pick something else if that made you feel even more alive and into these women. Like, let's say you say, you sit on my face and you fuck me, and they were these priestesses, and they went, we could make you feel more alive than that. And they could. So you feel alive. You feel your chest full of energy. You feel brought into the moment, alive in the moment. Okay. Now, that is the blessing you're getting from the goddess. Your fantasy of these two women is to feel alive. That's what you're getting from your fantasy, from these women. Yes? Okay. Then the way to convert lust into a gift for you is every time you feel attracted to a woman's ass, to her tits, you see some young babe here in the pool and it's like, realize that you're feeling alive and she's giving you that feeling as a gift. And you can receive that feeling, take that living energy in you, and magnify it. Just breathe it through your body. Be totally drawn into the moment by her beauty. And then use that energy, that aliveness, to give your deepest gift to the world. which if you don't do, you will feel incomplete no matter who you fuck. So you go to a strip club, and some women aren't going to be attractive to you because they don't give you what you want. They'll be attracted to someone else because they want that quality. But here's this woman, and you look at her, and it's like, oomph, your chest fills with energy and juice. You feel brought into the moment. You want her. You feel totally involved. Okay, so you're seeing her. In that feeling, realize you're getting already what you want from her, and merge totally with her. Feel her, breathe her, let your body receive her, as you're saying. Give yourself to her. Allow that feeling to flow fully, cultivate it in your body as a yoga with her as your goddess teacher. So you're actually cultivating it in your body. And then, what is the point of your life? You need to decide that. What is the purpose of your life? Even though the deepest pleasure of your life is to combine yourself with a woman who evokes your heart desire, your aliveness, the purpose of your life in some form is to give your deepest gift to the world in your way. Yes? The only appropriate and full action is to take that energy that has been aroused in you by all women who fit whatever arouses you, and use that energy to give your deepest gift to the world, which includes your chosen women, your family, your career, and everybody in your way. We all have our unique ways of doing that. The more women that could arouse that in you, the better. The more you allow yourself to be enlivened by the feminine, the better. If you start hitting on those women, they will close, and you will be diminishing the goddess that is here serving you. So the act is to honorably keep the formality we were talking about. You don't go and fuck them and touch them. If you did that, they'd feel abused, and they would close down their goddesshood, and no man would benefit from their gift. You'd be ruining it for you and everyone else. But if you can create safety for her, everyone. So on the beach, you see a, whatever, 18-year-old girl walking by in some thong bikini. You know, you're going to look at her in any case. So you see her, you breathe her in, you feel the livingness moving through you, you take it, and in your heart it's like, thank you. You feel deep gratitude for her, and simultaneously you have to feel, how should I treat her so she feels free to display that radiance? That's what you want, her to display that radiance. So how do you need to treat her? How does our culture need to treat her? How do you have to help other men so that she's treated in a way that she is free, safe, protected, to give her radiance? Well, in general, it's leaving her alone, giving her space, giving her distance, honoring her in your way, maybe not even looking at her just so she feels free, but certainly not like, hey, baby. Do you know what I'm saying? So that is how we take our natural lust, which is the purpose of which is to give our deepest gift to the world, receive the blessing of the goddess, be turned on, allow that turned onness to then give our deepest gift, not only to the world, to our women, to our family, but even our deepest gift to these random women that we feel, which in most cases means providing a circumstance where they're not hit on, where they're not violated, where they are free to be radiant without having to be put up with first stage men grabbing pieces of them. You return to her in consciousness what you have received in radiance. And then women are feeling as blessed as you are. They look at you, they happen to catch your eyes, and they see utter presence and devotion, total heartfelt gratitude, and they feel like, wow. And then they walk on blessed by your swoon, you walk on blessed by their radiance, and we all are giving our deepest gift as blessing forces instead of as first stage grabbers. But to do that, you cannot deny the lust that you have, but you must acknowledge what it's for. Your lust is the lust to feel alive, and women give that to you. That's their gift to you. Do you understand that? Okay, does everyone understand that? And the best thing to do is to take your most perverted fantasies. And the best ones, if you want to really change your life, are the ones you secretly masturbate to that you would never tell anyone. Anyone want to offer? No. So, this, you know, the really kind of, you know, whatever they are. And feel, what are you getting from that fantasy? What is the feeling? So let's say you want a woman who's totally obedient, and so she's sucking your dick and you're like slapping her or something. I don't know. And the feeling of that then is what you're getting is feeling power. You're feeling your own power in that situation. The gift she's giving you is your power.
So then what you do is whenever you see a woman who you lust for, feel how she's giving you empowerment, how she's actually awakening to you to your infinite power, which you are. All you want to feel is your omniscient, infinite power, which we all have as consciousness. So allow her and that fantasy to awaken you to that power, breathe it, and use it to serve the world. Use it to give presence to the very woman who you're having this sicko fantasy about. Convert that sicko fantasy into the power and give her that consciousness back as a gift. Let's say you want to be beaten. Let's say your fantasy is to be tied down and whipped by a dominatrix. What are you getting from that? Probably the sense of letting go of control, surrendering to pleasure, letting go of everything. Well, then realize that what this dominatrix is giving you is the feeling of letting go of everything, and go through the fantasy. Like, don't avoid it. So you're, you know, but instead of like just keeping it to some fantasy of some dominatrix beating you or you slapping someone or whatever it happens to be, actually feel, wow, what she's giving me, the dominatrix, is letting go of everything. So even as you're masturbating, allow yourself to let go of everything completely, and even in the fantasy then, having let go of everything, being wide open, serve the dominatrix in your fantasy while you're masturbating from your deepest heart, wide open. Convert every single moment of lust into a gift. Take every single moment of lust in real life and in your fantasy. Allow yourself to embody the quality that you want, which is always a form of power, enlivenment, openness, surrender. They're all divine qualities. Allow yourself to be filled with them. Breathe them through your body. Offer them to the world through your chosen gifts to the world. Offer them to your woman through your chosen way. And offer them even in the fantasy to the women you fantasize about as gifts. Give the dominatrix your total openness, if that's the quality she's giving you. Do you understand? It's a really powerful practice because all of us are walking around sexually obsessed, more or less, in different situations. And if we can actually take that and turn it into our open consciousness and service to the world, and it transforms your life immediately, as well as everyone around you. Yeah. If it's a visual fantasy, then you give it to the woman in your visual fantasy. If it's on the beach or something, there's a physical woman that's turning you on in some way, you breathe that and you just radiate it to her as a gift. It's just a feeling. Like in the workshop, when I say feel into a woman's heart, give her your presence. So you just give her your consciousness, but not just her. You're giving the whole world your consciousness. She's just one. She's the goddess who inspired you, and you're giving the whole world your consciousness. So you give it through your heart. You actually feel it out. You know, you plant your feet into the ground, you open your belly just like we do in the exercises, and you feel like sonar out into the world, and you offer your gift of consciousness. Then you also do it in your specific way. If you're a businessman, say, you feel that enlivenment, if it's this man, in your body, and through your business, you take that enlivenment and serve the world. If you're a father, you take that enlivenment and play with your kids and serve your kids with that energy. So you offer your gift both concretely through your actions, as well as through your presence or mere presence in every breath, offering it outward to everyone, as well as to the specific goddesses in formal ways that don't impinge on them, to just give them your love, your consciousness, to liberate them, to make them safe as they are. Let's see how this fits in the room. What we're going to do is we're going to leave our seating material to the side. We're going to stand up and we're going to form two rows. You're going to find a man approximately your own size and face them. Let's make one row here in this way and then another row there facing each other. So just face a man and take a few seconds to form in two rows. Someone about your same size. And then spread out across the room so you have maximum left-right space. Okay, so just face your partner for a moment. Gaze into their left eye, just as you've been doing with the ladies. Go into your fantasy about sex with this man. It's not a pretty picture, I know. So gaze into your partner's left eye and feel into your partner's depth. In other words, even though this guy you're looking at might be a little nervous, he might be terrified, he might be wide open, regardless of any seeming obstructions or tension that this man may have, try to feel into his depth. Like beneath his fear, can you feel his courage, his deep courage? Beneath his closure, can you feel his deep openness? Beneath maybe some sadness, he might be very sad in the moment, but beneath that, can you feel the light or consciousness that he is? So really try to feel through any tensions or social face that your partner might have into their depth of purpose. And try to notice when your partner drifts. So as you're gazing into your partner's left eye, feel him kind of coming and going. So he might just get tired, and you could tell he's not totally with you. And imagine, you know, you were mountain climbing and he was holding on to your rope, your belaying, or your life depended on his presence in some way. Maybe you were co-piloting a jet and you were getting sleep and you needed him to stay totally alert. Maybe you were two warriors about to go to battle and you're going to watch each other's back. But the feeling is, how present is this man and how much do you trust him? How much would you trust him to watch your back in a battle without fading? How much would you trust him to hold on to the end of the rope that was holding on to your life? Or do you feel he'd get distracted and let go or lose his presence? So it's that quality of trust. And this is the same quality that women trust in men sexually. For men, it's not sexual. It's just, do I trust this man with my life? You know, would I trust him with my children? Would I trust him if I had $1 million and he was using it to do business? Would I trust his handshake around that $1 million? Does he have that integrity to trust? It's that kind of feeling. And some men have more of that integrity, and what that integrity is their presence. It's the exact same thing we've been working with men and women. But for men, it's not so much he's present, I want to have sex with him. It's he's present, I'll do business with him. He's present, I'll trust him with my children. He's present, I'll trust him with my money. I'll trust him with my life. It's what makes a good friend, a trusted man. So feel into your partner's presence. And there's two rows of people. Certain people are facing the windows, and those are window facers. And two rows of men are facing me at the door, and those are the door facers. So you're either a window facer or you're facing me. And if you're facing me, I'm at the front door, so you're a door facer. So what we're going to do first is door facers. You're going to show the window-facing partner who's facing you how he can hit you that will not damage you, but will shock you. So what we're going to do is you're actually going to take your partner's hand, and he could maybe smack your shoulder or punch your shoulder or punch your chest or smack your chest, or maybe you've had shoulder surgery lately, so he's got to hit your forearm. But you're trying to teach him for this exercise a way that he could strike you that's safe. It doesn't cause any damage. So usually shoulders or chests are good, but if you have a problem there, then any part of your body. And how hard he could hit you, which is totally up to you, that is hard enough to sting, but not hard enough to cause damage. And you're actually going to train him exactly where and how hard he can strike you with an open hand, a closed hand, gently, hard, so it stings but doesn't damage you. For this next exercise, he needs to have a precise way of smacking you that hurts, you know, stings, but doesn't damage you. So at this point, door facers, teach your window facers where they could smack you so you wouldn't want them to do it because it's going to hurt, but still so it doesn't damage you. So everyone do that now. Train him where he could hit you and how hard. Okay, that's all the training you get. So gaze into your partner's left eye and come to silence, please, and here is the exercise. In any moment that you feel your partner drifting, you're like samurai warriors. You have swords to each other's neck. You love each other, but you simply can't let a man go into battle who you don't trust absolutely. So you're training this man, essentially, that anytime he drifts, even in the slightest, he gets smacked. Now, you might be wrong. Maybe he's not drifting. Tough luck. You do your best. This is just the way it is. You got to practice, and you'll get feedback to how often you're actually catching them. So both partners, simultaneously, at any moment, you feel your partner less than absolutely third stage present, you hit your partner and bring them back to presence. No words. Please stop talking. You've had time to adjust your hits. So if your partner is less than 100% trustable, which is huge. We're only going to do this for about 2 minutes. If he's less than 100% trustable because he's fading, he's hiding, he's behind, he's not totally there with you, smack him and bring him back to presence. And begin that now. So stay in total presence. This guy drifts if he loses it. Now, he could blink. You know, blinking's fine, but he's got to blink in a way that keeps him present with you. And just notice, if your partner's a jerk, he hits you even when you're not drifting. Or notice if your partner's really good, and he hits you even when you don't know you're drifting, but you are. That's the best partner. The best partner catches you drifting when you don't even know you're drifting. That's the point of the exercise. Can you help your partner? Can you hit them before they even know they're drifting? If your partner catches you, give a nod after they hit you so they know, yeah, they got you. Even if they caught you before you knew it, like they hit you and you go, God damn it, they did get me and I didn't even know I was drifting. Give them a nod so they know they got you. And if they didn't get you, don't nod. Just do nothing. But we're going for subtle drifts, really trying to catch your partner before they know they've drifted or closed down or got distracted. If he so much as thinks of a number in his head, he just goes, oh, I'm hungry. Bam! A single thought is worth a punch. 10 seconds. Okay, now stop hitting, but stay totally present. And raise your hand if you feel more present now than before the exercise. Okay, put your hands down. Now feel what it took to get you present. This is one way that men can serve each other's presence, by real demand. Now close your eyes, but stay equally present. Your eyes are closed, but it's the same thing. Imagine your partner could tell if you're drifting and will hit you. It's the same quality. So close your eyes, but we're going to do another exercise now. We're going to do what we just talked about in the circle. Fantasize about your most lusty fantasy that you could find right now. It doesn't matter what it is, and you don't have to ever tell anybody. But just imagine what would turn you on the most right now. It could be whatever. Fucking a dog, little boys, multiple women, cheerleaders. I don't know. Pick your sexiest, lustiest. The lustier, the darker, the more perverted it feels to you, the better. Fantasize about it, and I'm going to guide you through it. So first just visualize it or feel it in your body. And now whatever you're getting from this fantasy, circulate it. So if you're getting enlivenment, then breathe that enlivenment through your body. If you're feeling more alive, breathe that through your whole body, your heart, your genitals, your feet. If you're feeling at the edge of naughtiness, then circulate naughtiness through your body, the energy of naughtiness. Whatever it is you're getting, if you're feeling all powerful because someone's bowing before you, circulate that power through your body. Breathe it through your body like water flowing through a hose of your entire body, like your veins are flowing with all of this energy. Whatever you're getting from the fantasy, really circulate it. Now with your eyes still closed, begin radiating that energy out from your heart to the world. So if you're feeling all powerful, radiate power out to everyone as a gift. If you're feeling totally alive, radiate total aliveness as a gift out to everyone. Whatever it is you're getting from this fantasy, radiate it as a gift from your heart outward to everyone. Really keep giving it completely. And now open your eyes and gaze into your partner's left eye. And just through the gaze, give your partner that quality that has been aroused from the fantasy. Your power, your aliveness, your fullness, your surrender, whatever was aroused in that fantasy, you're offering that quality that has been gifted to you from this woman or women in your fantasy as a gift to this man. Just as one of the people you can give your gift to. And now, for the next 30 seconds, while you give that gift, if you feel your partner fading, smack. If you feel your partner thinking, smack. If you feel your partner not present, smack. And nod if they get you. Nod so your partner knows they did a good job in feeling you drift. If they didn't do a good job, you don't have to nod. Nod if they get you. 30 seconds. Now stop hitting each other, and even though you're gazing into your partner's left eye, begin to feel all the men in the room, like a basketball player running down the court. Feel the position of all the men in the room, even though you're gazing into your partner's left eye. So you're feeling outward into the room. You're feeling everyone if you can, just like any athlete. You know, you're running down the field. You have to know where everybody is. So you just feel that right now. Feel the entire room and offer your presence, your consciousness, and whatever energy has been aroused in you as a gift to all the men in this room. Actually feel it going to all the men in this room. So it dissipates out from you as a gift to everyone.
Yep.
Today, when we had the men's exercise, it was more than guys just pound. My experience with my partner was absolutely spiritual.
Yeah.
I have trained with men for 10 years to do something and not been as close as I was to this man who I haven't known at all.
Right.
In 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the... What the hell happened?
I put drugs in the atmosphere.
Oh, well, at least we have a room for it.
Well, we had, before doing that exercise, we had a discussion which, first of all, created a context where we could all be truthful with each other, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to go into that discussion, but we talked about things that all men could understand and feel the truth of in their life. So that brought all of us to the place of living in our truths. Then you were placed with a man and, through an exercise, brought to demand total attention, total presence from each other. Now, what I'm trying to say is that you could create a context for the third stage, which is what this whole workshop is. We did it with the men. The reason it worked was because of the work we were all doing to maintain truth, to maintain third stage. You could repeat that exercise tomorrow, and without that context, without that depth of heart, without that real, like, we are here in truth, truth, it won't work. The exercise doesn't work. It's truth that works, which we had established in that room. And then we use the exercise to call us even further. The way men serve each other is through challenge. The way women serve each other is through praise and play. So women become more radiant the more they love each other and support each other and draw each other out and love and radiance. If we did that, we'd become mush. As you described, the most spiritual experiences are right on the edge of death, you know, so here's a guy who's going to punch you if you fade, and that's the most spiritual experience. Well, don't do that with your wife. That's a man-to-man kind of thing.
No, I get that.
But it's not the exercise itself. So what you need to do is be with friends and establish that truth value. Come from your deepest truth. Demand that they come from their deepest truth. And however you play that demand, physically, verbally, it'll work if the truth is there in you. It's your limitation of being able to live your truth that prohibits you from having that depth with every man you interact with, or every man who's available, you know, when you interact with them. And you have that, obviously. You're a very deep man.
It was amazing to me that we were like brothers. I mean, I cannot describe to you, and I'm not making it up, how close I felt. And clearly, if there was a hill to be taken, I'd go with him.
Yep.
I mean, remarkable is not a good enough word. You cannot describe it. There aren't words.
And without relationships like that, it's almost impossible to navigate through life with integrity. Because we lose touch with our own integrity and we deceive ourselves, and we need relationships like that as men to remind us of truth, for men to go, hey, you're off. And you can't be with her completely. Let me rephrase that. If you're with men the way you just describe it, you can be with her completely because you get aligned with them. You get that aligned with them. And with her, you don't need that then. You could give her your presence. And then she's, you know, and like he was describing, and you're so boom in your presence. It's like, you know, rain on a duck.
Absolutely.
So thank you for saying that.